We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and today we've come to verse 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, let's begin in verse 14, and here again we see what some preachers have called sentence sermons in this chapter. Notice these short statements that are packed with meaning and application to our lives. In verse 14, Paul said, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men." In the previous lesson, we looked at the example of warning the unruly. The word unruly here means disorderly, and we're talking, of course, about being unruly or disorderly according to the Bible. This is a responsibility of preachers, no doubt. Preachers are to warn the unruly. The Bible says to preach the word, to be instant, that is, to be ready in season and out of season, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. So preachers definitely have the responsibility to warn the unruly. Elders also have the duty to warn unruly people, especially false teachers threatening the church. In Titus chapter 1, verse 9, an elder is to be able to exhort and convict the gainsayer. But here, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, when the Bible says to warn the unruly, that is addressed to all of us. Every one of us has the responsibility to warn the unruly. And so this goes hand in hand with what we see in other verses of Scripture that are not addressed just to preachers or elders or to Bible class teachers. For instance, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, the Bible says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." And again, who is that addressed to? That is addressed to Christians. Christians in general, not just elders and not just preachers. So we all have the responsibility to reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. Here's another passage. In Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, the Bible says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." This passage says that it's not just the responsibility of parents to exhort their children. It's not simply the responsibility of preachers to exhort members and elders to exhort people. It is the responsibility of every child of God to exhort other Christians. And to do that, he says, on a daily basis. But how many Christians do that? How many Christians even think about this passage or read this verse of Scripture, which tells all of us as Christians to exhort, that is, to urge one another on a daily basis? Hebrews 3, verse 13. Now let's look at the second exhortation that Paul gives in verse 14. He says to comfort the feeble-minded. A feeble-minded person is somebody that is faint-hearted. It is someone who is discouraged and down. It is someone who is depressed, especially in living the Christian life. Sometimes today, when someone talks about an individual being feeble-minded or feeble in his mind, they almost, if not altogether, do mean by that the person is not in his right mind, that the person is perhaps senile. But we're talking in this passage about somebody in his right mind. That's not the problem. A feeble-minded person in this verse is somebody in his right mind, but he's discouraged. He is down emotionally. And all of us get discouraged. All of us as Christians get down sometimes. And we need to remember this. When we see somebody that is down, we need to pay attention and have our eyes open to people so that we can sense when they are down. And then we need to take the time to help those people. It may be a young person. It may be an older person. It may be a young mother. It may be an aged widow. It may be a young boy. It may be a sick person. It may be somebody grieving. Or it may simply be a child of God who is fighting the good fight of faith, but that individual is discouraged. and we can do a great deal of good in this lifetime by helping someone with an encouraging word. Listen to these passages talk about the power of a compliment and the power of an encouraging word. In Proverbs 12, verse 25, the Bible says, "Heaviness in the heart of man makes it stoop, but a good word makes it glad." Then in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, the Bible says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakens morning by morning, he wakens mine ear to hear as the learned." These passages say that we ought to be compassionate to other people and that we ought to encourage other people. So Paul says to comfort the feeble-minded. Now, when you put that in context, of course, what we find is that in verse 11, Paul said, "Comfort yourselves together." And at the end of chapter 4, as Paul talked about these Christians who were concerned about Christians who had passed away, perhaps some of them were family members, but perhaps not. But what we find is they have a concern, an anxiety about Christians who have passed away. So Paul teaches them about the resurrection day at the second coming of Christ, and he says, in light of this, comfort one another with these words. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. So when you put that in context, it really helps you to appreciate what these people were going through and what Paul was trying to say to them. Now, of course, that's not the only situation where people need encouragement, but it is an example, and it is one that is in this context. The next exhortation that Paul gives is to support the weak. Support the weak with your prayers, with your visits, but especially support them in their needs, that is, to give to them financially, to support them and to provide for them in their material or physical needs. So the weak here would be people who are sick, people who are poor, people who are widows, people who are orphans. Now, of course, the Bible talks about people being weak in their conscience in Romans chapter 14, but it appears that he's talking about being weak in a physical sense here because this is more general, and also because he says to support them. And usually, when the Bible uses those words to support the weak, the scriptures are talking about helping them in a financial way. For instance, in Acts chapter 20, verse 33 beginning, Paul said, "I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered to my necessities and to them that were with me." Now, this is very similar to what Paul has said in this book of 1 Thessalonians. Paul was saying these words in Acts 20 to the elders of the church at Ephesus, and he tells them, "I have not coveted what any other man has, and I have worked with mine own hands to provide for what I needed and also to provide for others' needs." So he set an example before them. Now, that's what Paul is talking about earlier in this same book of 1 Thessalonians, and he's going to say even more about that when you get to the book of 2 Thessalonians. But let's continue. As Paul talked to these elders of the church at Ephesus, notice what he said in Acts 20, verse 35. "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" And then notice that Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, to be patient toward all men. It takes a lot of patience to be a Christian. There's so many pressures, there's so many temptations, and sometimes there is so much conflict. Try to be patient. And Paul says, be patient to all men. Sometimes it's easier to be patient with some people than it is with others. But Paul said, make it your goal as a child of God to be complete in this. And that is to be patient toward all men. Peter said to add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, and patience. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. Now then, let's notice in verse 15 that Paul says that we're not to be vindictive. We're not to seek revenge. In verse 15, he said, "See that none render evil for evil." Paul says, and the Bible teaches elsewhere, that we're not to be vindictive people. If people lie about you, don't lie about them. If people curse you, don't curse them. If people steal from you, don't steal from them. Don't pay them back according to the way that they have treated you. Be bigger than that. Be better than that. This is what the Bible is teaching here and in many other passages. And I want you to notice something here, especially in verses 14 and 15. Now notice in the last part of verse 14 that he said, "Be patient toward all men." Here he says, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves," that is, in the congregation especially, "and among other Christians, and to all men." So he stresses here that we're to be patient toward all, that we're not to be vindictive toward anybody, and that we're to follow good both among ourselves as Christians and toward all men. This is important here, and it's significant that Paul mentions this three times in this context. So we don't have the right to pick out certain people to be patient with, and to pick out other people and say, we won't be patient with them. We don't have the right to say, well, I won't be vindictive with this individual, but I will with another. We're to love all men, and we're to do the best that we can. And as Paul says these words in Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 18, he complements what he's teaching here. Listen to Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 18. "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." That's Romans 12, verses 18 through 21. And here Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men." There's no way to be at peace inside if your heart is full of revenge. And a good example of this is King Saul in the Old Testament. King Saul was obsessed with getting David. He wanted to kill David. He was out for revenge in his own mind, and that feeling of vindictiveness consumed him. And the whole point about it is, of course, that David had not done one thing wrong to King Saul, and yet he was full of spite, and he was full of vindictiveness toward that man, and it consumed him. It wrecked his life, and vengeance will do that when it eats away at a person's soul. Now then, let's go on to verse 16, where Paul said, "Rejoice evermore." The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice." And here the Bible shows that these people were being persecuted. They were in affliction. They were suffering tribulation, and yet Paul tells them, still rejoice. Rejoice always, rejoice evermore. And not only that, he tells them to keep on praying. Verse 17 says to pray without ceasing. In Luke chapter 18, the Bible says in verse 1, "He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." And then he gives that famous parable of the woman who was coming before the unjust judge. What a great passage that is on being instant in prayer, that is, continuing in prayer and not giving up. And then in verse 18, Paul gives another exhortation, which was needed for those people in Paul's time and is very needed for us today. He says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you."